Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, of course, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie.
Yes.
You know, we just can't seem to keep up with the weeks anymore.
Oh, I know it. It's getting further and further behind. It seems like the summertime and the warm weather, you know, makes more on our plates. It's hard to keep up with everything.
It does, but we'll get you stuff as soon as we can.
Yep.
If we're beyond 2 weeks, somebody go send out a search party. Right. But on this episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast, we have a returning guest for, let's see, which, how many is this now, Maximus? Four.
Yeah. This is the fourth time.
Yeah.
He's Maximus Bryant. He is the president of the Ohio Haunters Association. No stranger to this show. Good to see you again, Max.
Good to see you both. This show is fantastic. And listening to like some of my previous episodes, I always thought, man, it's just easy to talk on the show. Like, you know, it's just a fun conversation to talk to the both of you. So I really appreciate you asking me back on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We appreciate it. I say you're the number one for the most visit, most guest appearances. So you hold the top spot.
Well, where's my badge on Facebook? Right. Where's my top fan badge?
There you go.
I feel like it was taken away. Give it back. No, it's great, you know, speaking with the both of you, and you know, it's kind of fun too to like listen back on the previous episodes to kind of be like, what was I doing then, and then what am I doing now? Because like back last time we spoke, which was right after the last haunt season, I wasn't president of the Ohio Haunters Association, so you know, right, things have changed, and you know, things grow, and it's kind of fun to keep doing a check-in.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things we wanted to talk about today, and along with the upcoming haunt season, which you're privy to, obviously. But yeah, like I said before, you last time you were here, you wasn't the president of Ohio Haunters Association, and now you are. So let's talk a little bit about that. We just had a recent meeting at Carnage Haunted House over the weekend and had a great time and a great turnout. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about the OHA.
Yeah, well, we did just have a fantastic meeting. Carnage was such an amazing host. Mia and Andrew and Mike, they just, you know, they put so much together. We originally were actually going to be in that bar area. But then as soon as the number of people that responded went beyond 40 and into 70 and 80, and I think about 100 people showed up, We couldn't fit in there anymore. So we actually ended up in the concourse, and it was kind of funny to see them get all the tables out and everything, but it was a great meeting, great turnout. Terry did great speaking. I got to talk a lot about what OHA's got coming up. And you know, ever since, you know, being the head of OHA, it's been fantastic to have, you know, Keith Newsom on the board with me, Ryan Greger, Kelly Greger, and Nikki Spahn. They've just been amazing people to work with, get feedback on. A lot of things have happened. So, you know, a big shout out to Jason Wilson and Katie, you know, for getting OHA going and everything. And you know, I wish them the best in everything. I know that, you know, life gets complicated when you have kids and everything. And so they know they're good at knowing when they have enough on their plate. I think that's a skill that I still need to learn. And so they, you know, they said, you know, it's, you know, Max, we'd like you to, you know, take this forward. And I've got a great group of great board behind me. And so, yeah, there's just so much one can talk about with it and everything. So,
yeah, so you definitely got a good group behind you. And if you ever figure out that that secret to not having too much on your plate, let me know.
I think that the last word, the homophone, it's not no, but no.
Right.
Being able to say it. And I'm not good at that. I'm really not.
Yeah, same.
But I do know that it is necessary to come up and everything. So, you know, and so ever since taking over, like Hell's Dungeon and Dayton hosted, they were phenomenal. They, you know, they got these, the tables out, and they put on the tablecloths and red runners across the tables. It looked really nice, had amazing food. And then Mohican Haunted Schoolhouse 2 months later, they were such amazing hosts using the gym as the meeting area. It's such a perfect meeting area. It was just fantastic. And we've been able to sell shirts, stickers. We've had people donating stuff for raffles. Scott Beaver dropped off some prosthetics, and we were able to raffle those off, and Keith made some masks. So, you know, the meetings have been productive and fun, and we've had amazing speakers like Travis Bowling from American Horrorplex spoke at the first one. Wells Township Haunted House, they came over. Brittany came and spoke about connecting with your community at the second one, and then Terry Rook kind of did a discussion slash train the trainer kind of talk at this most recent one at Carnage. So Hell's Dungeon, Mohican Haunted Schoolhouse, Carnage, thank you from me personally for opening your doors to me and the Ohio Haunt community, and being amazing hosts. And so makes me look forward to a lot of the stuff that we have going on. Out of nowhere, for example, we were asked to come to Midwest Haunters Convention and have a booth. That was fun. We got to go to Chicago. We had a booth. I took several promotional items from a bunch of haunts. Like, actually, I have one from Carnage sitting right here. We had several things on our booth, and what we wanted to do was go into Chicago and say, hey, all of you out here, Ohio, we have amazing haunts, and this is, you know, the things that we got going on in Ohio. It's awesome. And we just wanted to brag about Ohio and Chicagoland. And I think we had a lot of fun doing that. We had the booth. We had Ryan Greger talk about preserving your home haunt or protecting your investment with your home haunt. We also had a photographer, Lucretia, come out, and she set up in our meeting room and took photos. She took photos of so many actors, and the room was actually pretty far away from the show floor, but we got all these people in costume to get over there, and they got their photos taken. So it was actually a lot of fun, and I think we added a lot of value to the show. So we look forward to being a part of that.
Yeah, very cool. A couple things you mentioned that I do want to touch on. The Midwest Haunters Convention, at the meeting, you gave out some information. I don't know how much you're allowed to say at this time or are privy to, but you had mentioned about maybe a possibility of them sponsoring a possible convention or a meeting of sorts coming back to Columbus or Ohio.
Yeah, we so this has only been a couple of conversations. Mm-hmm. And because when Midwest Haunters Convention moved out of Ohio, you know, that's when Ohio Haunter Association got the OHHC event going. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a lot of great communication between us and the Midwest Haunters Convention folk. And so ever since COVID, we've had, I think, a better opportunity to communicate with each other and to say, like, look, you know, Ohio, we still want to do something. So, you know, we want to work with the other conventions, and, you know, we are a sponsor now of Midwest Haunters Convention, and we're proud of that, and we want to continue to do that. And so maybe they've indicated that it's possible that they would be able to sponsor an event that we would have. The only thing right now is we don't know what kind of event we want to have in Ohio. And that's why we brought it up at the meeting. You know, is this, you know, like the Cleveland Haunt Club, they do like two different 1 day events. They do their flea market and they do their garage sale. You know, would we want to hold an event like that that had more of an emphasis on education as well as a haunted house opening? Or would we want to go more for that 2 day convention route? There's a lot of could be's. And I think what we as a board want to hear from the community is, what do you want? First, you know, like, what could, and we're going to be part of the planning committee with the Midwest Haunters Convention going forward, or, you know, we've been invited to be a part of that. So we would like to know, you know, what are the barriers keeping Ohio people from going to the Midwest Haunters Convention? Yes, there's the distance, there's the drive. So, you know, that being standing, you know, what can the event do to become more attractive for Ohio people to be a part of it? Because it really is a great event. Like there's actors walking around in costume. You get to meet a bunch of people. This is how I got to know so many people in the haunt industry. I was at the last two that were in Columbus, right? And I walk around, I see a person with a haunt shirt. I don't know where that haunt is from. So I just walk up and I say, tell me about your haunt. And, you know, I met people that way and I get to hear about them. And then I see them again at another convention. And this is a really a great way to network and make make the haunt family, you know, as far away as they would be, feel a little bit closer because you get to look forward to seeing people at different conventions. And I think Midwest Haunters Convention is a great place for actors to go there. There's acting classes and, you know, a lot of stuff that people can work on with their costumes and stuff there, as opposed to a show like Transworld, which is more of a trade show. You know, you're buying, you know, thousands of dollars worth of stuff. You know, your typical actor isn't doing that. So I think Midwest is more geared towards that. There's all, they're also more geared towards the home haunter, you know, to come out. And that's why they created the whole home haunter education track, which we were a part of. So we'd like to do that, but you know, there's no reason why we can't have a party in Ohio as well. So there's nothing set in stone. There's nothing fully planned out. Like for example, venue, how many days it would be. So, you know, those who hear it from Ohio, get a hold of us. You know, let us know what you want to see in Ohio, because typically what it is people are coming up and saying, what's the Ohio Haunters Association doing? We're getting things rolling again for sure. We just as far as an event goes, you got to think. I think OHA started in like 2016-ish, 2017.
Yeah. And then old.
Right. And then, you know, 2-3 years later is when they had their event. So we're kind of in a rebuild phase right now, getting some culture normalcy going with the association and events. So we're building that foundation so that when the time comes for the event to happen, whatever it is or what kind of event it is, we want to be sure that there's plenty of support there and an interest for it to be there.
Right. Yeah. Well, my vote's for a 2-day event convention type thing, which I know that's, you know, that's a lot of work and, you know, more stuff on people's plate. So, but you know, no matter what it ends up being at Ohio is the leading state for the most haunts in the country. You know, the other 49 states need to pick up the pace and get with it, but I think we need at least have something.
You know, what I've got to say is I am just thoroughly amazed at how quickly you have progressed, Max. From the first time I met you when we met at Quaker Steak and Lube, because I had your gruesome giveaway present from Big Scary Show.
Yeah.
Oh, I have it.
I still got it.
I still have it.
Nice.
you were a home haunter, you were a fan, and you were just getting to ready, you were just starting to work at Dent.
Mm-hmm.
And to remember meeting you back then and to see you now is such a night and day difference. You're just really, you've brought a lot of people together, and you deserve to be the president of the OHA.
I really appreciate those words. Because I mean, it is kind of crazy how that all came to be, and but like for example, with the Big Scary Show, it was listening to that show, realizing how big, not necessarily how big the industry is, but like how it all kind of connects, like the rabbit hole or how deep it goes, you know, like the music, the acting, the sets, the all the different haunts, the special events, the different kind of haunts, you know, Big Scary Show kind of covered all of it. And at the time I was doing long drives all over the place. So it was a great show to listen to. And I think it opened my eyes to what all is there. So, the haunt industry has turned into this big rabbit hole that I just dove down into. And then once I won the prize and I love this thing. I really do. It's fantastic. you know, ever since then, I've just, you know, I continue to listen to different shows. I've gotten the pleasure of being on several different shows as my involvement with things have continued to grow. And so, you know, I really appreciate it. You caused me in the moment to kind of now think over the last several years about what all has happened. And so, you know, I really thank you both for your support and encouragement. And Jim, you know, I think I've messaged you and asked you several questions over the years on different things, and you've always answered and had the heart of a teacher. So I appreciate that greatly.
Appreciate that. Kind of like doing it.
Yeah. And that's what we want to encourage with OHA is, you know, try to create an atmosphere of education. You know, people want to learn, people want to do different things. And so one thing, you know, Donnie heard at the meeting, we're trying to do is try to increase the home haunter base. Because as a home haunter, the 2012 through 2015, I know nothing of the haunt industry. Like at all, not a thing. I'm at that point what I've decided to call an off the grid haunter, like somebody who doesn't know how connected the industry can actually be. And I think home haunters still pretty much are, tons of them are off the grid haunters. You have great groups like Cleveland Haunt Club who I think focuses pretty great on home haunters and brings them all together. The Chicago Haunt Builders also do that. So we're trying to do something similar for Ohio. And so we're giving a bunch of the members like a card that says like, hey, great haunt display. Join the Ohio Haunters Association. The goal is for people to get that card. Yeah, like Donnie has there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the hope is they'll come onto the page and see that it's a group that you can share what you've been working on. I mean, like pro haunters, I think are less likely to share all their scenes because they want people to pay money to see their scenes. But home haunters, you know, they're doing all this without getting really anything back as far as money wise goes. Mm-hmm. And we want them to share like what they're doing, you know, be proud of the work, you know, and I love seeing haunt displays because home haunting is kind of where I came from originally in this whole thing. So, you know, I want more home haunters on the grid. So Donnie, who has a card, he has been instructed now when he's driving around and sees an amazing home haunt or display or, you know, one that just looks fantastic or whatever subjective criteria you want to use. Go drop the card off. And then, you know, hopefully that builds the base up and we can, you know, get to know more people, more friends, more engagement, and build a home haunter base. And that will help if we create an event in the future. So that was one thing that we hope that happens this coming year is I'm hoping that people like Donnie will say, yeah, I saw this amazing place, drop the card off. And now this person's on the group and they're sharing photos of their home haunt. Mm-hmm. Perfect. That's what I want.
When you brought that up, I was going to bring it up on the podcast as well, but yeah, when you brought that up the meeting, I just looked at Terry, my wife, and I was like, that's a great idea, because I mean, I too came from the home haunt industry, and because like I said, I knew of haunted houses, I went, but I never acted in them. And then Mike Newsom, he used to be back in the day, he was a big home haunter. And he's a family friend and all that, and he needed an actor, so that's how I got introduced to acting at a haunted house. And you know, so home haunt does have a special place with me because that's how I got my start. But and like you said, on the business aspect of it, you know, there's the home haunters don't do it to get rich or make money. They do it because they're passionate. So, you know, they have that passion and drive that's even some haunters don't have, because, you know, they're looking to make a little bit of money or just to get out and scare people. And so they have unique ideas. They're creative because they don't have the budget and stuff like that. And I would pretty much bet my life savings and house and everything that there is a ton of home haunters, that the niche, the home haunting niche, is bigger than people realize. And like you said, it's just that they're quiet and they're in the dark and they're underground, so to speak. But I would bet my bottom dollar that the home haunting industry is huge.
And when you say it like that, it makes it sound like treasure hunting.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing to look at a map, like a scare factor haunt map, and then kind of be like, okay, there's a haunt there. But isn't it more exciting to kind of like find a haunt that no one knew existed? Right. Like, there's something exciting about that. It's like a treasure, or, you know, kind of treasure hunting in a way. It's almost like letterboxing or geocaching, I guess, to me in a way. So if I find somebody like, you know, if I find a haunt, amazing display. And I found one in Springfield 2 years ago. And you know, and I got them to join the group, and I check in with them, and I'm like, hey, how's the display going? I get to hear how that goes. But there's so many more. And I've just never had what I thought was a good icebreaker to kind of be like, unless I catch them outside, like it's different. Like this is going off track. There was a comedian who talked about that people used to have a cake in their house for company, as in somebody would knock on the door and then it's like, we have company. Nowadays it's knock on the door. It's like, who the hell's that?
Right.
What do you want? So
you're turning on their Ring app.
Yeah. You know, you don't look at it like, oh, it's a visitor, let's get the cake out anymore. I feel like the culture's kind of changed in that way. But the point being, going and knocking on someone's door because they have amazing haunt display, I'm not sure how well that's going to go over. However, a card, I think, is a much easier icebreaker, in my opinion. So I'm interested in seeing what kind of results this yields. And so this Halloween season, I'm going treasure hunting. I'm gonna find you home haunters, and maybe you'll listen to this episode and know that I wanted to find you and connect with you and bring you to be part of a bigger community, because the haunt industry, I love it for the, you know, for many of the reasons that Jim kind of pointed out about how, you know, he's seen me change over the years, and because there's just so much to get into, really so much. And there's so much you can do. And it's really an industry that you pretty much get what you put into it. But I think you get back way more than you put into it. You know, it's just been nice. Like, ever since the meeting, many different people have messaged me. They want to connect with one person or another. They want advice on actor training. They're looking for what OHA is doing next. The haunters are amazing people. They really are.
Oh yeah. Well, I got my 5 cards from Ryan, so my head will be on a swivel this season, just like you guys.
Well, and the only reason we said 5 was because we only printed 200 of them. I mean, right. I don't know if there's, you know, maybe there's 200 home haunters in Ohio. I mean, maybe there's more. There probably is more. But we just kind of thought there's like 100 people at the group. Maybe,
right.
Maybe I don't know, if several of them take a stack, we'll just limit it to 5. And so I'll be interested in seeing, like, do you need more than 5? Do you not? So, you know, Donnie, please keep in touch with me about, you know, how many cards you pass out. Cause
yeah, for sure.
I really want to know, like, you know, are people going to really drop off the cards? If they do, does it, you know, yield result? I'm just thinking out loud about my curiosities with this experiment.
Mm-hmm. I think what we should do, if we could actually talk to the home haunter in person and hand them the card, is for us to like take a selfie and post on the group page. And then that way it lets them know that we've, you know, we met with a home haunter and introduced them to the group or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the one in Springfield, I found that they were outside, so I was able to start talking to them. You know, I said how I work at a haunted house and I love haunt displays, because this house had quite the display. Like, it was something interesting. It really was. And so it was easy to kind of talk with them in that way. And I know not everybody is that way, but, you know, if you're able to do that and, you know, take a selfie and all that kind of stuff, I fully encourage it, because, you know, I think that would actually help people to feel more comfortable in doing it. Like, yeah, okay, people are doing this. And it's okay to engage with the haunter. So in my personal opinion, I think the likelihood of catching them outside is the best bet. Second best, leaving them a card, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Where's the cricket button?
I'm going to take me a drink. We'll have to take this and splice this part out.
This is the part where Donnie's taking a drink.
Yeah, well, I started to say something and my throat was dry, so I was like, nothing came out.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh man,
we're just hoping to be more engaging. Like the other thing you heard at the meeting was that we hope that Haunts will submit an actor for an outstanding performance award. This to me is more of a, you know, just an incentive for your actors. Like, you know, we want to create a tradition in that way where, like, there's one actor that a Haunt can submit for an outstanding performance award. So, you know, basically the way it would work is they would email us, they'd say who it is, send a picture of them and why they deserve the award. Limit one per Haunt, and that creates some recognition, because I think actor incentives are so different across the board. Like, every Haunt does it differently. Every Haunt seems to pay their actors differently. Every Haunt does awards differently. So we're just trying to hopefully offer something that comes from outside the Haunt. Cause I'm one of those egomaniacs, whether you believe it or not. Like, I love getting recognized for my acting. I just do. I'm selfish that way. I don't believe I'm the only one. So if actors know that they have a chance to earn some recognition, I feel like that's a pretty good incentive. So that's another experiment. We'll see how that goes. Like, we'll put it out there and Haunts can submit them and they'll get a laminated certificate and we'll make a thing of it, like film sort of a kind of like an award ceremony type thing, you know, giving recognition to them. And so I'm interested in seeing how that goes as well. So many different ways we're trying to engage.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The recognition is a big deal. Even at Carnage, it's a big deal. Me and Mike and them, they do this thing after every night during Haunt season, whoever gets the most compliments from a guest, or if they do something above and beyond, or they get a good scare, you know, they'll pick one person every night and give them a free pair of contacts. And so that's like the little incentive for them to give their all and 110% and all this and that. And, you know, people, when they get their name called, you can just see their faces light up and they get all happy and excited. And, you know, so like you said, the recognition, you know, that's a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're not trying to be reviewers. I know reviewers oftentimes give awards and such, but we're trying to be something. We're not trying to be reviewers. We're just, you know, trying to be a tool that Haunts can use to help incentivize their actors.
Yeah. Terry calls me a tool a lot.
No, I had awards for my actors in Maul as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that big wrestling belt.
Yeah. Yep. You get your name on the belt. You also get a trophy, but you get your name on the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And the trophy's personalized too. And then I have a couple of other awards in there, and it's you know, most improved, or, you know, rookie of the year, things like that. So they appreciated it, definitely, and a lot of them wanted their name on that belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, no, like Den Schoolhouse has the Tater Award. And I have yet to win it. So it's actually one of my goals this year is to try and win it. I know that the longness of the season sometimes gets to me, or, you know, like the weekends kind of start blending into each other, but, this year I really want to go for it. I really want to win. So, you know, again, I love my recognition. So I'm aiming for the Tater Award this year.
Good. That's a great goal to aspire to. I mean, that award was first presented back when I worked there.
Did you ever win it?
Nope,
you neither, huh?
Nope.
Well, I think they've run out of spaces on it, so they need to like expand the nameplate, because there's an engraved name of the winner goes onto each one, but they ran out of spaces, or they can kind of shift them. So I'm hoping to get it. I've always kind of wanted, I don't know, I just wanted to be the most entertaining. It's called the most entertaining actor, sponsored by Tater Award. So that's my goal. And I hope that people will participate in the Ohio Haunters Association thing as well. Kind of speaking on the longevity of the season, we're also going to offer a video chat night on Monday nights. People can come in and kind of share some successes about their season, but they can also vent if they want, and they can stay anonymous. You know, they can turn their camera off, change their name on the thingy, whatever. Just to kind of be a support, because we know those of us that have done it, we know that the haunt season can be long. It can be draining. But you know, sometimes people just want to talk about it and share about it. So that's another, effort that we're making. I'm interested in seeing what the participation will look like there, but those will be Monday nights at 8:00. So, watch the Ohio Haunters page, and an event page will pop up for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of the haunt season, let's talk a little bit about that and cover that. Cause one of the things that I'm envious of you about is every time I turn around, it seems like you're posting a picture of you at a different haunt and going to this haunt and that haunt. And I'm like, dang, man, I don't want to go to those. So, I mean, you pretty much got your finger on the pulse of haunting here in Ohio. So what are you seeing out there? What's some haunts that stepped up their game? What's some haunts that weren't open, you know, because of COVID, that is opening up this year? You know, what kind of stuff are you hearing out there?
Well, there's several there were several that were closed down for the haunt season, and then they made a return, some of them last year. For example, Jail of Terror in Newark, Ohio, they're going to be opening up this year. But not only are they opening, they're opening like early, like September 9th.
Nice.
Like September 9th early. So I know Darren Smith was involved with that haunt for a very long time, and I think that now he has the opportunity to bring it back along with other new partners. I'm very excited to see what they have going on. It's not going to look like what it used to. I think it's whole new everything. So I'm very excited to see what Jail of Terror has going on. Fairfield out in St. Clairsville, Ohio is going to be open September 3rd. They're the earliest I'm aware of. So yeah, I haven't been there in like 2 years, so I'm not totally sure. Haunted Hoorah in Marion, Ohio just came back, I think last year for the first time. And now they're going to be in their second year in their new location. And, you know, they're one of those stories that I think, yeah, at the time it sucked, like dealing with the eminent domain thing with the school and having to lose their location in Ashley, Ohio. But talking to the owners recently, they're pretty happy with this new location. And I think that there's a lot they can do with it, and they're very excited. I think last year they had a relatively short season, but this year it's going to be a much longer season, opening up the September 16th. So, and running all the way through November 5th. So it's a season about the same length as what we're doing at Dent Schoolhouse. I'm excited for them. There's several out there who are popping up. I should say All Hallows Eve Terror Town down in Williamsburg, which is just east of Cincinnati. They're going to be, I think, the first ones to open September 2nd. They have, I think, the longest season out of anybody.
Yeah, that's 2.5 months, 2.5 month season there almost.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, you know, going and looking. I mean, I'm looking at my list right now, and there's tons of haunts that are going to be opening September 16th, the 23rd of September, and the September 30th. A vast majority of the haunts are opening September 30th and running those 5 weekends, because October 1st is that Saturday. So the vast majority are doing those 5 weekends. But there are several early openers like Terror Town, Fairfield, Jail of Terror, Fear Columbus will be open early too. Dark View out in Toronto, Ohio will be open September 10th. I have not had a chance to look at the Cleveland area quite yet. And Cleveland is still still kind of my personal dead spot, I think, as far as knowing much about the haunts. I know several people in the area. I just don't know tons about each individual haunt. So, but I mean, there's tons of stuff going on. We at Dent, we have some fun stuff, I think, planned as well. Jim would remember the Queen City Slaughter Yard, that is now no more. So you'll have to come visit and see what we got going on back there, because it's going to be actually, I think, really, really neat. I'm just kind of browsing through my list here. I've been hearing some buzz about Distracted Haunted House up in Bowling Green, Ohio. That area, you know, Haunted Hydro, I think, has always kind of been like the one that people know about up in the Northwest. So Distracted in Bowling Green, I think, is starting to come into its own. I just recently learned about it not too long ago. And
right. I was going to say, I've never heard of that one, to be honest.
Well, it's kind of there smack dab in the middle of Bowling Green, basically. And, you know, it's a Bowling Green is pretty much a big college town,
right?
Like as in the college, I think, is the main economy in that town. And so, you know, you have a lot of great college students there for either actors or customers. So, you know, hopefully that works out really well for them. And I that's one I really want to check out for sure. And yeah, so Blood Prison, I think, is going to have a pretty awesome scene. I mean, Blood Prison, that you know about Andrea, the warden's widow. That character has just blown up. She's known for her scream, and she's so popular on TikTok now too. So, you know, she's been able to raise a lot of buzz for Blood Prison. I mean, not that it was necessarily needed, because Blood Prison is just amazing as it is.
Right.
But there's definitely a lot happening there for them. And so, yeah. And there's a new haunt up in Cleveland, Nightmare Cleveland. So I'm excited to learn more about that. I think a lot of the folk that was involved with the Chippewa Lake Slaughterhouse also are involved with making Nightmare Cleveland. I want to check that out. I want to check out Chippewa Lake too. I've not been able to see that one. And Nightmare, I know that Dembski has had a lot involved with Nightmare Cleveland. So if Dembski's involved, the sets are going to look amazing. So tons of stuff happening in Ohio, and it's all going to be, I'm sure it's going to be awesome, and I'm really looking forward to a great season. Because, and there's some haunts that have popped up on the list that I'm like, there's a haunted haunted house. Like, have you ever used speak to text and said the word haunted and it came up as hunted? Yeah, you know, so it's almost, like, that's happened all the time. So when I saw that, I was like, was that a speak to text issue, or did they actually decide to call it the haunted house? I saw it on the list. I'm trying to find an opening day for it, but there's no Facebook page and nobody on the website's responded. And that happens sometimes. I'm trying to put together all the opening dates, all the end dates, and I'm trying to put out a graphic, kind of break Ohio into four parts, because if I try to do it all in one, it's too big, just way too big.
Right.
So I'm breaking Ohio into four parts. We're going to have a graphic put up, like Cincinnati, Southern Ohio, Dayton and Toledo, Columbus and East Ohio, and then the Northeast. Because that's just kind of how the concentration of haunts work out. And we hope to post that, and we hope people will share it, because in the years past, I was making videos about what haunts were opening, and I don't think they got shared out as much as I would have liked. So I think this year, a graphic that just has all the haunts listed and their opening dates, I think that's way more shareable. And I think that will hopefully get the Ohio haunts much more attention.
Sure. Yeah. Every little bit helps for sure. Yeah. That Chippewa Lake slaughterhouse. I went there with some of the Carnage people a year or two ago and got to visit that, because that's my, I'm a slasher guy. So that was kind of like my, kind of like in my wheelhouse, that kind of a haunt. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
See, I have to make a point here now.
Okay.
We're going to back up a little bit, because I believe it was Jail of Terror.
Mm-hmm.
What was the opening date of that one again?
September 9th.
Right. September 9th, Donnie.
Yeah. You're going to rub it in, are you?
That's what I'm going to be, Donnie.
Not a Jail of Terror.
Guess who's not going to be there?
Yeah, me. Got to rub it in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to. Especially when I'm there and I send you Facebook posts.
Right. Well, that's all right. My sacrifice is going to benefit us both, so just keep that in mind.
hope so. Right. Donnie's missing out on adventures.
Right.
Yeah. One of the fun things about doing this list also is finding the haunts I didn't know about. Right. That's part of that treasure hunting, and finding out like, oh, there's this haunt that exists now. I'm going to contact them, say, hey, you know, share stuff about your haunt on the Ohio Haunters page. And so, I'm excited for that. And I just got my letter, offering my position at the Dent Schoolhouse. So I'm really excited for that. We do have to re-audition every year. So I got my letter for that. So I'm excited.
Pumpkin Smasher's alive this year, huh?
He'll be alive. I don't know what he's going to be doing. They've kind of indicated that he might kind of be rotated a bit more. So he may be outside, he may be inside. It's always kind of hard to tell, because you also base it sometimes on how many actors do you get in, because I know haunts are, not all of them, but several haunts are having problems still finding actors. And that continues to be an issue. And I know I've brought that up before. So recruitment is still something that has to be kind of focused on and figured out. But they are, you know, we'll see how many we have, and to be sure we have enough. And if not, then, you know, I'll be, Max will be somewhere in the house.
Somewhere, huh?
Well, somewhere. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. I love being a queue line actor. I really do. But I do need to put my pride aside. And if the haunt needs me to fill a scene, you know, I got to be willing to do that. And that's being part of the team. And that's being, you know, trying to do what's necessary to put on a great show. Because, I mean, we don't need all these people running around outside. I mean, they do help. They do entertain and everything. But, you know, the reviews will talk about empty scenes, you know, the Google reviews, the Facebook reviews, they will say, well, there was a bunch of empty scenes. Well, we don't want that. I think about it, I don't know any scene that doesn't have an actor. Well, right. There's kind of a little hallway, I guess, but
I was just saying there's a very easy way to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started, I worked in detention hall. Well, mm-hmm. See, before that, I worked at Kings Island, I was doing scenes. You know, that's how I cut my teeth. And then when I went outside, when I was at Dent, I found that I really liked that freedom. But I was always a team player, and if I needed to work a scene, I would work a scene. I never once, not once, actually worked in the house.
Really?
Really.
Huh.
I have never worked a scene in the house.
See, I used to be really jealous of the house when I worked. So after detention hall, it was Queen City Slaughter Yard, right? My first year I was out there. I was jealous of the house because they got dismissed first. And actually, from the slaughter yard, you could see upstairs where they were putting their costumes away, and we were still out there. I'm like, I mean, this is after a night where you're tired, you know what I mean? And everything. I mean, I still had fun, but I didn't know that about you, Jim. I didn't know you never actually worked inside.
Not once.
That's interesting.
I couldn't even tell you how to get around half of the place.
Wait, you were never like rained out? Like outside?
They put us, usually they sent us home.
Huh. Yeah. I remember that when we got rained out, there would be a certain number of spots still available in the house. So, you know, if somebody wanted them, they would like volunteer to do it. And then years after they kept updating the slaughter yard in such a way that, the actors would have shelter, in the rain. So, you know, they were able to modify that. And now it's gone. So maybe, you know, those of you that have known the Queen Series slaughter yard, stop by and see what has replaced the Queen City Slaughter Yard. It's totally new, totally different, and it's going to be awesome.
Interesting.
Oh, yes.
It's got my curiosity piqued.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you, it's really pretty. It looks good. And it's not even done. So, you know, we're in that crunch time at this point, Yindi, you know, a lot of haunts, Dent's opening in less than 30 days at this point. So, you know, it's crunch time. Gotta get it done. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to get yelled at for not being there tonight. But it's all right. I like talking with you all. So lots of fun stuff to look forward to for the haunt season. But speaking of the haunt season, if I'm allowed to plug this real quick, Dent Schoolhouse, we're going to be doing a Haunter Night on September 29th, which is the last Thursday in September. Most haunts are not open on a Thursday and the last Thursday in September. So we invite haunts to come out if you're wearing your haunt swag. So a shirt, hat, jacket, whatever you got from your haunt, wear your haunt swag, and you get a discounted ticket to go through the haunt. And I'm going to be playing host that night, me, not any other character, but so I get to see everybody, kind of you know, point things out to you, like you know, and we'll be giving away some prizes, and you also get to see what's new behind the house, and kind of get experience with that, and a bigger explanation. Because I mean, the point of this is that when haunters show up on other nights, sometimes we're just really, really, really busy. So we're trying to designate a night that we know we can give the attention to our fellow haunters that come visit. Because when haunters visit, it's awesome. I love when haunters visit. It's like, you know, those are the people that know what it's like to put on a production like this. And so I'm I love showing off Dent. I just love showing it off. And so this is like the one time I get to actually be like, this is my haunt home, and, you know, show it off. And I'm going to get to do that also, because we're going to be, we are offering more behind the scenes tours. So people can buy a time slot before we open for the night, and I'll lead them through the house and show them all the behind the scenes stuff, the stuff that normal customers don't get to see. You get the real in-depth look into everything at Dent. And so I get to host that as well. So I have a lot of fun stuff happening for me at Dent this year, and I'm very excited for it. And the season itself, you know, I'm excited to see how it goes, and grow the character and keep building, and, you know, just keep having more fun. I don't know how many more years I've got doing this, but, you know, still fun.
I think you got a few left in you, at least.
Well, that travel bug is in my ear. It's buzzing in my ear. And Donnie says, you know, like, he sees me at haunts, you know, every so often. Yeah. I'm kind of at the mercy of haunts that either choose to open before us or do an off season event. That's all I can see. And so I do try to see them, but, you know, so for example, I'm looking at this list of haunts. I'm like, haven't been, because it's a Friday, Saturday haunt that operates all Friday and Saturdays of October. I'm never going to see them. Right. And these are also the haunts that are not opening for Christmas, Valentine's Day, or anything like that. I'm never going to see them. I do have opportunities to do a little bit of video features with the Haunted Attractions Network, so I may get to see them, but I won't get to see the full show. And that's just, so the point I'm getting at is there's going to be a time where I want to see the show, like all the shows, as much as I can. I have no aspirations of being a reviewer. My opinion really doesn't matter that much. This is more out of personal curiosity. I want to represent Ohio well. And I feel like one of the ways that I can do that is to know all the haunts in Ohio, not just know them on a list, but like know them, like know their, oh, this is going to sound weird, but like know their heart, like, mm-hmm. like what makes each haunt different, because like each one does, like even the JC's haunt in Hudson, I went up there. It's a haunt that benefits the Junior Chamber of Commerce. I don't know what I'm going to find, but man, it just, the way they do everything was so interestingly thought out and done. And, And so not just learning about the haunt, but the story behind the haunt, there's a richness to that. Have you guys ever watched Saving Mr. Banks?
Uh-uh, I haven't.
No, but I know what it's about.
Okay. So it's about the making of the Mary Poppins film. Saving Mr. Banks is a very interesting movie to me because I love learning about the story behind the story or the story of how the movie came to be. And so it's the same way with haunted houses. I love learning about how did this haunt come to be? What's the story behind it and what makes it unique? And so, yes, I probably have several years of acting still in me, but I'm very, very curious about this industry in Ohio, not just Ohio, the country, but I don't really have aspirations to do, like, for example, what the Haunt Finder General does. You know, I don't really want to do that, but I do want to see more. And I feel like that would only help my perspective on things.
So you just want to go, not for any other reason that other than to experience it.
Yeah. I just want to go, like, yeah. Because when people say, hey, what are these great haunts in Cleveland? Well, I'm like, I know of haunts in Cleveland. Like, I know the Hudson Haunted House. I've recently gone to Factory Terror and Akron Schoolhouse, and Forest of Screams.
Okay.
Yeah, in Medina, I think it is. Yes, Forest of Screams. So I've been to a few, but not a ton of them. And so I just want to go and see them so that when people, I really hope this doesn't sound braggy. People are asking me constantly about haunted houses. Like, what are some haunts to visit in this area? What are some haunts to visit in this area? So I've kind of just taken this attitude of like, well, here they are. Here's the haunts. And then they'll say, well, what are the good ones? Go experience all of them. And you figure it out. You know,
because what you may like, they may not, and vice versa.
Right. Exactly. My mother can go through the Dent Schoolhouse and she will be fine. But you take her to a Charity Haunts wooded trail, she freaks out. She cannot handle wooded trails. You know, so it's subjective. What is good? What is not? And really, it kind of comes up to, I think, you know, the audience member. There's tons of movies out there that some people just love to death, but get terrible reviews on by professional critics. So it's like, what is good? I think it's in the eye of whoever's willing to spend money to see it, I guess. So I just want to see them. I don't want to review or anything like that. I want to visit them, find out what the heart behind them is. And so that when people ask me, I can say something about them. Because they're, you know, these are, excuse me, these are artistic expressions, these haunts, you know, the layouts, the stories they're trying to tell, the characters they're trying to create, this whole creepy world that they're making inside of, whether it's an old building, a strip mall, whatever, or this patch of woods, they're trying to tell a story and create a new world. And I want to explore those, all of them, if I could, but I'll settle for Ohio. I think Ohio is possible within the next few years.
Right. Okay. It's a good starting point.
Yeah.
You know, we do have the most haunts in the country, just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not as big a state as like California. So, you know, the traveling isn't as bad, you know, the density really good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there's a lot there for sure.
Oh yeah.
Well, normally this would be the part where we'd ask you the question, but you've already answered it.
Yeah, he's already answered it probably four times.
I remember answering it once.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe the first couple we didn't do it yet.
Yeah, I think I don't know when that became a tradition. But I do remember last time saying that I would drown someone.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So do I need to pick my second go-to?
He's got to be your go-to.
My yes. go-to?
Yeah, we'll stick with your original.
Yeah. Well, I do have this amazing luddied up. All I think it's a splitter. Is this a splitter?
It's probably a skull splitter.
Skull splitter. Yeah. I've answered the question a few times. I mean, but you know, I what's been the most interesting one?
There's been a lot. The one I pick all the time, it's just because it struck me so funny, was it was a wrestler that said this one, but they said they would be on a high rise building and be on the roof. They would throw the person off the top of the roof, and before the person would hit the ground, they would run down, get in a truck and hit them right before they hit the ground, run them over. I was like, man, you would have to be super fast to pull that off.
I remember you mentioning that one. I think that one sounds like a pretty awesome Mortal Kombat fatality. Right. that could be really well animated. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. It just like, so when they said it, it struck me funny. I was just like, man, he must be pretty quick.
Right. So yeah, that's, and one other thing I wanted to mention real quick was I am part of a group now. I've continued to do things. This is part of not being able to say no, but I've joined a group called the Global Scare Network, which is, it's a group of people that was founded by David Jones, who is out of Portland, and he brought these haunters together from Scotland and Australia. And we've been talking, and then during the year of COVID, we did some remote panels. And after that year, we decided to kind of come together, call ourselves the Global Scare Network. And we're aiming to do education, consultation, and stuff for haunt attractions and set design, storytelling, prop creation, character development. Basically, looking at many different topics of haunting, but from an international perspective. And, you know, speaking with the haunters from Scotland and Australia has been a lot of fun for me to just kind of, like, they love hearing what I do, but I love hearing what they do. So it's a really awesome group of people. So, you know, if you're interested at all, you know, find the Global Scare Network on Facebook. They're really awesome people. And I'm kind of hoping that these two will talk to a couple of them at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they are great folk to talk to.
Let's see. Sunday.
well, yeah, but wrestle horror.
Oh, I know.
Now, is their styles, have you noticed if their styles of haunting and stuff like that differ from ours, or is it kind of all just one uniform?
Well, what it seems like is that theme parks exist in Europe and Australia, and this is not just the Scottish and the Australian folk. This seems to be in Germany, too, that a lot of known haunts are attached to theme parks. In a way, like, so when you watch like Japanese dramas, not like any of you would, but if you have, you've noticed that when they go to theme parks, there's usually a haunted house attraction as part of the theme park. And that seems to be the case with a lot of these places, that the haunt doesn't this is just what I'm seeing. I'm not totally sure if this is the broad generalization, but what I've noticed is a lot of haunts are attached to a theme park. So Paul Lanner of Haunters Against Hate, he is going to Germany, but he's going to a park because that's where a haunt is at. And it's a haunt attached to this park. So there's a lot of haunts attached to parks. It is the case here in the United States too. You know, Kings Island, Cedar Point, they all have haunts, Universal, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. But there's tons of other haunts too in the United States, right?
Right. To offset haunts.
Right. Yeah. To offset those numbers. So the industry is not as big, but that is one thing that kind of I'm noticing. You know, they get the space, for so much amount of time, and they only have it for so long. And so then they have to get in and get out. You know, and so that's, to me, you know, at Dent, we're tearing stuff down as soon as the Christmas show is done, you know, and we're spending the rest of the time building. So it's amazing to me to think of these folks trying to build a scene or build a haunt elsewhere. And then as soon as they say go, bring that haunt and set it up in the space they're given, and then to deconstruct and take it down. One other thing that seems to be interesting is that the Australian haunters, it's more like spring for them during haunt season, right? So the fall aesthetic doesn't quite match, except for what happens in pop culture and movies and such. But it's springtime for them. So talking with the owners, it seems like Halloween is kind of not the foremost like spirit of them doing the haunting. It's something else for them. It's just, you know, for the sake of being spooky in a way. So it, like I said, it's just really interesting to speak with them and talk with them about that. So I encourage you to, you know, check them out, talk with them. They're great folk.
We definitely would love to have them on the show sometime, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
As long as you can pull the magic like you did for Sunday.
Well, I'm trying, you know, four different time zones there. This is difficult. Right. We're going to be doing that meeting. Somebody's going to be talking at midnight. The rest of us are in pretty good shape, but the one is at midnight, which isn't the worst, but, you know, it's still. It's going to be a fun conversation, and, you know, talking with you, Jim, whether it's here or Big Scary, you know, is always a lot of fun. And Donnie, you know, you're fantastic. So I'm sure I've said thank you to the both of you before, but you both are just amazing.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. We feel the same about you.
Thank you.
So make sure you let everybody know how to find out about the Ohio Haunters Association.
So we only exist on Facebook at this point. So find the Facebook group, Ohio Haunters Association. If you are a haunter, a home haunter, or if you have a haunt-related business, submit a post. I did have to turn on post approval because there was a lot of spam, a lot of nonsense being put out there. So, you know, forgive me, but just submit your post. And, you know, we'd love for you to share what you got going on. Find more about that. And, you know, find, we did just change the website, by the way. DentSchoolhouse.com is the website now. So for Dent Schoolhouse season, and if you want to buy behind the scenes tour tickets where I get to lead you through the haunt, check that out. And if you just want to find me on Facebook, Maximus Christian Bryant, send me a friend request, but send me a message, because I get a lot of like spamish friend requests. So send me a message, just say, you know, how you know me, your fellow haunter, whatever. And Global Scare Network has a page on Facebook as well. So check it all out, see wherever I am, and hopefully we can connect.
Sounds good.
That's awesome. Well, I certainly want to thank you for coming on to talk to us for a fourth time. I guess you're kind of a popular guy. And I got to say, you wear many, many, many hats, and my hat is off to you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm currently trying to balance it. So right now it's looking okay. I'm just hoping to be a great actor this season and a great leader for Ohio Haunter Association. And so thank you so much for, you know, that encouragement.
Absolutely. My name is Meat Hook Jim, along with my co-host Donnie Hoover, our special guest, OHA President Maximus Christian Bryant. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Thanks for watching and listening.
Yep. See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.